10:51 on WGN. You know, we talked to a representative from State Farm yesterday about this hurricane that came through and the damage that it did. And I said it was $100 billion in damages. And then I was talking to a guy named Mark Friedlander, who is the director of corporate communications for the Insurance Information Institute. And Mark sort of set me straight on this. Hey, Mark, thanks for joining us today. You're on the air. How are you?
Oh, thanks, John, for having me.
So was it $100 billion in damage or insured losses? How much damage did Hurricane Ian do in Florida?
Well, what we're projecting right now is about $60 billion in insured losses. That would make it the second largest catastrophe event in U.S. history behind Hurricane Katrina in 2005, which is about $90 billion in today's dollars. The $100 billion figure is accurate as well, but that's for potential economic losses for Florida.
So the difference being people whose homes aren't insured, how is the insured loss $60 billion, but the economic loss $100 billion?
Well, $100 billion includes loss to businesses, retail losses, loss of commerce. So overall economic impact is always much larger typically than the insured loss.
And
so the insured loss, that covers property losses.
And you said this is the second biggest catastrophe in the history of the country. Is that what you just said?
Most likely it will rank as the second highest. Last year, to give you an example, Hurricane Ida that struck Louisiana and then the East Coast was about a $33 billion property loss event. So this storm, Hurricane Ian, is almost double that in our projections.
Are you seeing more violent storms or more destructive storms?
Well, what we're seeing is more Americans living in harm's way. According to 2020 U.S. Census data, more people want to live near the coast. In fact, in Florida, about 80% of residents live within 10 miles of either the Gulf Coast or the Atlantic Coast. People want to be near the ocean. They want to be near the Gulf, but that puts them in harm's way. And the more building you have, the more homes you have in harm's way, the higher your damage levels are going to be.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. And I think those of us here in the Midwest kind of throw up our hands and say, well, what were you people thinking? If you're going to move to Florida, especially on the East Coast, this is going to be a common occurrence. And we sort of cluck our tongues a little bit saying, when we see your houses destroyed or businesses wiped out, what a tragedy, the loss of life notwithstanding. But there's also this sort of what are you people thinking attitude. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, people want to be in the sunshine, apparently, John. We have more people moving to Florida than any other state, at least since the pandemic began. There's a real estate boom in Florida. Our real estate prices are off the scale if you're trying to buy a home in this market. People don't seem to be concerned about the catastrophes yet. When something like this strikes, everybody's shaking their head like, okay, why do so many people live in a state that is the most vulnerable to hurricanes in the country?
Well, are those people insured? When I see Fort Myers in whole neighborhoods, looks like an atomic bomb went off. Are those homes probably insured?
They are most likely insured for windstorm loss, which is usually your typical main reason for losses from a hurricane. But the flood insurance rates are not as high as we'd like them to be. I think what we analyzed is about 50% or more of the homes in the Fort Myers area and other coastal communities were insured for flood. That's good compared to the U.S., which has a very low 4% insurance rate when it comes to flood. Mm-hmm. But when you go inland, and we saw catastrophic flooding in the metro Orlando area, less than 5% of Central Florida homes have flood insurance. And that's a real concern.
So then those people have to eat it? Do they have to find their own finances to pay off a mortgage for a home that's damaged or repair the home that they're in?
It's going to be very challenging from a financial perspective. They can apply for FEMA grants, which many are doing already in the Orlando area, but a FEMA grant is only going to give you a small portion of recovery. FEMA grants are not insurance. They're not a replacement for an insurance policy. So it could be a very tough road ahead for someone who's lost their home and doesn't have flood insurance.
But the people who do have flood insurance, that's managed through the federal government. I presume the premium for that is pretty high then, right?
Well, interesting. interesting. The premium for flood insurance varies greatly depending on the risk of your specific property. Yeah. The average cost of flood insurance in the U.S. is less than $1,000, so not even $100 a month. That versus potential loss seems like a good investment, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, so FEMA, going back to your question, FEMA does insure most of the homes. They underwrite most of the homes through what's called the National Flood Insurance Program. But in Florida, there's also dozens of private flood insurers as well.
I'd be surprised that a bank would lend you money without to buy a house or build a house if you didn't have the insurance to cover it after something like this.
Well, that's the thing. If you have a mortgage, you are required to have property windstorm coverage and, in many cases, flood insurance. However, in Florida, we have many retirees that move down there and take their retirement funds and buy homes without a mortgage, mortgage-free. So they are not required to have insurance. We think that's a big mistake from a financial protection perspective, because a storm like Ian could just ruin you financially. It's financially devastating. And no matter what your situation is with your mortgage, you should have adequate protection through insurance.
Mark Friedlander is the director of corporate communications for the Insurance Information Institute. He's a Chicago guy. Where do you live now?
Now we live in Northeast Florida, near the St. Augustine area. I spent most of my life in Chicago. Used to work with a publication run by Doug Buffone that covered the Chicago Bears and the NFL. I am a diehard White Sox fan, but don't ask me anything about this season because I've wiped it completely from my mind. And maybe I'll have to do the same with the Bears as well. Things are not looking so great after last Sunday at the Meadowlands. But I'm a diehard Chicago guy, and have very strong Chicago roots.
Now then, I'll call you again. Either way, I appreciate your help and information today, Mark. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, John. Really appreciate it. Take care.
From the Insurance Information Institute, Mark Friedlander.